Thank you, Dave. I invite you to stand as you're able to hear this morning's gospel reading, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew, reading from the 10th chapter. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. A loving Lord, we thank you for this day that you've called us together to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I listen to a passage of Paul, such as Ruth read today, I sometimes begin to wonder, what in the world is Paul talking about? He has these long run-on sentences and uses words that we hardly understand in this day and age. And to help to understand Paul, you have to digest that very carefully. You have to take it in little small bites, so that you can begin to understand what he's saying to the Romans and therefore saying to us. In part, what Paul is saying in that passage from Romans is a continuation of his conversation with the Romans about sin and grace. And in today's passage, the word for grace is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. And Paul is basically saying that we in our lives have a choice. We can either be slaves to sin, or we can be obedient to the righteousness of God. We have that choice each and every day, to follow Christ or to be subservient to sin. Paul says it's our choice. If we're alive in Christ, though, we ought to be obedient to Christ and to God. When he's talking about sin here, he's not just talking about one or two little trespasses maybe that we might happen to do. Really, he's talking about something even greater. He's talking about the power of sin, the power of sin to claim your life and to hold your life, the power of sin that is in competition with the very power of God. He's talking about evil in the world. And so he uses the word sin and slavery to talk about how evil can get its grasp on us. And we have the choice. We have the choice either to succumb to evil's power or to have the freedom to be obedient to Christ. You may have heard in the end of that passage that if you are going to be under the power of sin, what you'll earn is death. But if you follow the righteousness of God, what you'll receive is the free gift of grace, that free gift of life, abundant life and eternal life, a gift that's free to all who believe in Christ, not something you ever can earn, not something ever that you can accomplish, but something that's just freely given. In this day and age, sometimes we get our feathers a little ruffled when we hear the word slavery. Because in America, we have this horrendous history of slavery of persons in our country. But really what Paul is getting at is that we all serve a master. All of us are under the influence of one master or another. What he's talking about is, who do we obey? Who do we give service to? Where is our loyalty? Where is our devotion? And if it's to sin, then you're following the wrong master. But if it's to follow after the ways of God, then you're following the way that those who believe in Christ would follow. We all have a master, whether we admit it or not, something or something, someone or something that we follow, something that gets our full attention. And is it God or is it our own selfish ways? It really does make a difference whom or what we serve. It really does make a difference where our allegiance lies. And I said, we daily have that choice. Will we be free and live for Christ, or will we let sin shape our lives? Will we choose daily to be God-centered, or will we instead be self-centered and follow after sin? A pastor writes about her friend who was a slave to fashion, and fashion can be a fickle master indeed. Every season brings a new set of requirements, new clothing and accessories to be purchased, new trends to be adopted. Sometimes she looks fabulous, other times she looks ridiculous. Sometimes she even looks uncomfortable. Nevertheless, she has pledged her allegiance to Vogue and takes her orders from its editor. Perhaps you know someone like that. She goes on to say that some people are slaves to physical fitness, arranging their lives and relationships around trips to the gym and rigorous workouts. Some people have pledged their allegiance to personal wealth and are guided by the whims of Wall Street. If you want to know who your master is, pay attention to what occupies your thoughts and how you spend your time and money. We are all serving something or someone, and this passage invites us to ask the questions, whom do you serve? Whom do you serve? Who or what is your master? Paul uses the language of slavery, and we could use the language of addiction. People in this day and age are addicted to so many things. This week, we are probably all appalled about the number of overdoses that happened in our own communities. Drug overdoses. It definitely is a prayer concern. It's a justice issue. And it's an evil in our midst. People are addicted to drugs and to alcohol and to food and pornography. They are slaves to those things, and their life reflects it. Perhaps they're addicted to lifestyle choices, addicted to relationships, addicted to power and greed, or addicted to work. There are so many things that pull our allegiance away from God. And it's hard to break an addiction. It's hard to break through of the power, as Paul says, that power of sin. It's hard to shake loose from those chains that hold us captive. But as those who have been freed through the death of Christ, we are called to break those chains and to have the freedom to live for God, to let go of those things that would pull us away from God, that would keep us from being God-centered, that would keep us truly from being free. Paul calls us to ethical living. He calls us to a life of love and justice. He calls us, those who are washed in the blood of Christ, he calls us to live like we believe that, to live as if we believe that we were no longer condemned by sin, to really be free from sin's grip, and to live as those who follow Christ. We don't do that so that we can earn something. We don't do that so that we can gain any reward. We don't earn anything by being obedient to God. God grants, God gives us eternal life, abundant life, and we can't earn it. All we can do is receive it. Too often we imagine that our good deeds earns us a home in heaven or more stars in our crowns, but that is never true. God offers us a gift of abundant life, and our obedience is our response to such a marvelous gift, a gift we are free to receive or reject. That's where our freedom lies. We can choose to be followers of Christ. We can choose to be God-centered, or we can choose to live our own lives and be self-centered. I often look at Eugene Peterson's The Message when there's a difficult passage of scripture and I want a different perspective. This is how he translates those verses that Ruth read this morning. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin, tell you what to do, and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put-together life right now, with more and more life on our way. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. The wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God, the free gift of God is abundant life, is eternal life, is life in Christ. In this day and age, we work for rewards. Every place you turn, there's a reward for what you buy or for what you do. Think about that for a minute. If you have a credit card, most credit cards nowadays, you get a reward for using the credit card. Your hotels have a reward. Your airlines have a reward. Almost every department store and grocery store has a reward. I can get 10 cents off a gallon of gas just by buying my weekly groceries at Wise. Everything has a reward, and we look for those rewards. But in truth, in God's economy, the reward is just that free gift of grace, just the freedom to receive that grace. That's reward enough. That's reward enough. Speaking of rewards, in the gospel lesson this morning from Matthew, Jesus is sending the disciples out. If you remember, he's already shared with them what their mission is. He's told them their consequences. And now he's reminding them once again that there is a blessing. There is a blessing in being sent out. Again, listen to how Eugene Peterson translates that scripture. We are intimately linked in this harvest work. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you. Anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Father who sent me. Accepting a messenger of God is as good as being God's messenger. Accepting someone's help is as good as giving someone help. This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing. You won't lose out on a thing. The reward that the disciples will get is the reception that they'll receive. The gift will be in the giving. The freedom to go out and share the good news will be the only reward that they need. And when others hear that good news, that's a reward in itself. Jesus is saying, you will be blessed by being a blessing. You will get, just by the giving, even something as trivial as a cup of cold water. You will receive blessing in the giving. The scripture reminds us that in the work of being disciples, we are so intimately linked with God that we are one with God. People should see God when they see us. People should see in our actions Christ. We're free to make that choice, but I think sometimes we are so overwhelmed by the things that define us that we forget that. That we forget that those who are alive in Christ represent Christ to the world, and therefore represent God. With God so closely linked to us, it's amazing what God does to ordinary people. God is linked with every person who shares that good news. And with that in mind, we can do amazing things. And if truly, if we are God-centered instead of self-centered, we'll see that. We'll see each and every action as a gift. A gift that we are free to give and also free to receive. God notices even the smallest gesture, even that cup of cold water offered to someone who's thirsty. God notices when we choose to live for others, when we choose to live for God instead of living for ourselves. We have that choice each and every day. We have that choice to be free, free from sin and free to share the good news. May we choose freedom in Christ today and every day. Amen.